Well, let me tell you, I preached this message this past Sunday, and for the most part, the feedback was good, but there was kind of one recurring thing, and folks wondered why it was kind of a hard topic for me to preach on. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's basically about, if you remember several chapters ago, we talked about being faithful in the area of your moral life, right? Not to be a part of sexual immorality. And we preach that with boldness and passion, because if you'll abstain from sexual immorality, you'll be blessed and your life will be better for it. And we talked about marriage. And with all kinds of passion and power, we preach that, you know, if men will be the husbands God called them to be, if women will be the wives God called them to be, you'll be blessed and your life will be better for it. And then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And what we're going to talk about tonight is just about being faithful in the area of your finances, being faithful with money. So tithing is going to be a part of the message. It was this past Sunday. And I did feel a sense of awkwardness in preaching about it, because you can preach on all kinds of stuff, and for the most part, it's acceptable. But when you start talking about money, I mean, money's really private, isn't it? I mean, when's the last time you just kind of went up to somebody and said, "Hey, I make however much you make a year"? We don't do that. We don't talk about money. Part of the reason is because it's deeper than that. It's that we attach value to that, or lack of value, that sometimes people can kind of think of themselves too highly or too lowly because of money. Now, the reason that I think people perceived, and you might tonight, a little awkwardness in me talking about it, is because I think people have a perception in the church that, like, when the service is over and we've taken up an offering, right? When the service is over, all the pastors go into a room and we divvy up the money. Now, some of you are laughing and some of you are like, "You mean you don't? How does that work then?" And even though the message tonight isn't specifically about tithing, because it's all of your money. Because I remember a guy talking to me once. We preached a sermon about money and tithing was mentioned. And a guy came up and he said, "Now tithing, I mean, that's an Old Testament principle, right? What do y'all think?" Well, it is. It's an Old Testament principle. That's where we get it. The principle of the tithe does come from the Old Testament. Because the number one question I get about tithing from people, can anybody guess what it might be? There you go. Hey, you were here Sunday. You're cheating. People say, "Should I tithe on the net or the gross?" Well, if you go back to the Old Testament principle, does it talk about second fruits? Third fruits? No, what's it talk about? First fruits. So even in that principle, it even answers that question, whether it's the net or the gross. It's the first fruits, okay? And so this guy felt like it was an Old Testament principle, so we didn't need to do it. And I said, "Well, let's go over to the New Testament. What did Jesus say about your money? How much of it is his?"
All of it.
100%. And he said, "But I like the Old Testament." you can see that. But Jesus wasn't reordering the tithe. Jesus wasn't saying you should go to the church and you should give 100% of your money. It's not what Jesus was doing. Nor was he abolishing the tithe, the principle that was set in the Old Testament. What Jesus was concerned about, though, is not only that we be faithful with the 10%, but that we'd also be faithful with the 90. And that's why Jesus said, "Everything you have is mine. It belongs to me." And Jesus wasn't saying that in some kind of ownership thing. But what was Jesus saying? Everything you have is a gift from God. Amen. Everything you have. Some might think, "Yes, but I have some talents. I have some abilities." Yes, but who gave those to you? God. So everything you have is a gift from God. So let me say this. So the message tonight ultimately really isn't even about tithing. It's not really even about money. It's about Jesus. What did we just sing? All I have, I lay at your feet, do you? I would say the vast majority of us here tonight would consider ourselves followers of Jesus. But do we really follow him? And do we really trust him? Let's jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to read kind of a lengthy passage and we'll talk about it a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord." And what Paul's talking about here is his part in the beginning of the Corinthian church, that he was instrumental in that church getting started. He was an apostle. "This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink?" And he's talking about the apostles. "Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain.' Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this is written for us, because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more?" Now, what I shared Sunday morning was this. The specific issue that Paul's dealing with in the Corinthian church, you know, another controversy in the church, was that basically some of the pastors received a salary. And Paul's writing 1 Corinthians chapter 9 mainly as a defense of it, that a worker is worthy of their wages. Amen. Remember, you say amen when I go like that. And that's the defense. And what I said Sunday morning was, insofar as I know, that is not a controversy here. You know, the pastors receive a salary, and as far as I know, that is not an issue here. So I didn't want to just spend the message talking about that. Matter of fact, I won't talk about that part of it at all anymore. Paul makes the defense. He says it's okay. But there's a greater, broader thing that's happened here that I think is a word for us, and that's this. What had to happen for there to even possibly be a controversy over how the money was being distributed? The people had to give, right? You remember Paul, throughout his missionary journeys, he was taking up a collection and taking it back to the church at Jerusalem. And with that collection, various things were done. Missions were done. Other churches were planted. I mean, different things were done with that. But there is this assumption in Paul's writings that this was part of what would take place in a church. Not just that, more specifically, it was a regular and expected part of a Christian responsibility, that they would give. And so some of the awkwardness I have is because that is more touchy. Because listen, when you preach a message on sexual immorality, who gets upset about that? People who are committed in sexual immorality. When you talk about adultery, who gets mad about that? Those who are having an affair, right? And so when you talk about money, who gets upset about that? typically it's those that aren't being faithful with the 10 or the 90 or both. And so the heart that I wanted to preach with Sunday is the same heart I want to preach with tonight, and that is this. If we're really going to follow Jesus, and we're really going to trust him, because for some reason, more so than anything, when it comes to money, that's when you find out what's really important to people, isn't it? I mean, you can say what's important to you, but if there's not an investment in that, is it really that important? It's not. And so tonight, I tried to do this Sunday. It didn't work. I'll just tell you tonight. I won't try to get you to do it. But what I wanted people to do is just hand their checkbooks to each other and just go through and look at the checks that they've written. Because I know some of the young people are like, what's a checkbook? And so, because if you look at that, if you look at your bank statement, you look at your checkbook, whatever it is that you have, there are the things that are important to you. Probably the majority of the money that I spend every month, and I'll remind you before I tell you what it is, I've got four kids, right? Walmart is really important to me. Kroger is really important to me. Crossroads is really important to me. Those are the places I go and spend my money because I'm excited about hot dogs and frozen pizza. Amen. Right? But do you see what I'm saying? How important is food? It's very important, right? If we had to pay for air, we'd all be paying for it, wouldn't we? Because that's not one of the things you can leave out in a month. And so I imagine for all of us, we would find food, right? You have to pay for shelter, I bet we find that. That's on there. Gas, that's huge because we've all got places to go, right? That's important. And then there's other things that would begin to vary in this crowd. But they're the things that are important to us. And so, if we're following Jesus, you know, obviously what he wants from us. Now, everybody listen to this. It's not our money that he wants from us. It's our hearts. Amen. And when he has your heart, you'll find the 10% to be in order, that you're faithful with that. And the 90% is in order and you're faithful with that. Now, why do I make the differentiation? Here's why. Somebody accused me Sunday morning of making up this story, but I promise you I'm not making it up. It was a conversation with a guy who, because he was tithing 10%, and I don't know that he was. We don't know who gives what. That we don't have anything to do with that. But he told me that he was tithing, and because he said he was tithing, he believed he could do whatever he wanted with the 90%. And one of the things he did is he pays to access a porn site on the internet. Now, put yourself in my shoes in that conversation. Really? Wow. Now, I want you to think about this. But he thought, all that matters is 10%. And I'm doing that so I can do whatever I want. As if giving the 10% took him off the hook for anything else. Because here's the thing, and let me just say this, and I don't know if this will help or if this will hurt, but if that's how you feel about it, God's not honored in your 10% anyway. Because what does he want? Your heart. That's what he wants. And I think we are famous for saying that Jesus is our Lord, but he's only our Lord if we're following him with trust and obedience. What I said Sunday is there are typically two reasons why people aren't faithful with the 10 or faithful with the 90. And the first comes, and I'll just give you kind of some scenarios. The first is I've had people say, you know, I'm not, And by the way, I want you to know I don't go around and talk to people, hey, how's tithing going? I don't do, these are people who've come to me to talk about it. And I had somebody come to me and they said, I just want you to know, I'm not tithing right now. And I was like, oh, what do you say? Start! No, of course not. And I said, really? I said, well, okay, since you said that, how come? Well, there's something I've been praying about for years, and God still hasn't done it. And I just feel like, you know, I've told God if he'll do this, you know, then I'll start giving. And I'm thinking that's like me telling a billionaire, you see this $5? You're not getting it until you, I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so what was the problem there? It was gratitude. Right? Anybody remember the old hymn? Count your many.
Blessings.
Name them.
One by one.
Okay. The beautiful hymn. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. God has been so good to us.
Amen.
Did I just say I have everything I wanted?
No.
No. Did I just say everything's worked out exactly how I've wanted it to?
No.
But you know what? And let me be even more honest. Oh, there's some things I'm really disappointed about. In this super honesty, my disappointment could only be in God. Because I, you know, there was something I was praying for, a situation that I wanted to work out differently, and it didn't. And so I've had those disappointments. But far outweighing the disappointments and, you know, the things that I want that I didn't get is this overwhelming fact that God has been good to me. Oh, he's been good to me. And he has been there for me. And let me tell you, I've never been at a place where my needs weren't met. And I am not claiming that I was able to do everything I needed to have my needs met. I mean, there's times when I dropped the ball and the needs couldn't even be met and God came through. Right? He's been good to us. But if there's an attitude about being faithful with the tithe or being faithful with the 90% that says, if God would do these things, then I'd be faithful with that. The problem is gratitude. And I don't know if you all have noticed, but have you noticed how gratitude is a virtue that just seems so deficient in children today? Anybody else? Have you seen that? And do you know why? Because gratitude is taught. I still remember my dad telling me, whether it's birthday or Christmas, whatever it was, whatever gift you get, he basically told me, it better be the best thing in the world. My dad taught us that. That if you're given a gift, I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you wanted it. I don't care if you don't need it. Whoever gave it to you better feel like it was the greatest thing in the world. And what was he teaching me? Gratitude.
Amen.
Granted, somebody said Sunday, well, that's a false gratitude. But I was a child, right? And that's how my dad's teaching me. And I remember being 7 years old, being at my grandparents' house, opening up this little gift, and it was handkerchiefs with my initials on them. Right? I'm seven. And I remember looking at them like, gosh, that's why we have sleeves. And I was I was so disappointed. I mean, I was hoping for a Hot Wheel or the Bionic Man doll, which wasn't a doll because he was a dude, but you know what I'm saying, right? Or just whatever it was, and it was handkerchiefs with my initials on it. And I don't know, it felt like an hour had passed with me just standing there looking at it. I'm sure it was just a few seconds when my dad just walked over and just kind of put his hand on my back. And then it reminded me, and I said, who told you? Who let the cat out of the bag that I wanted handkerchiefs with my initials on them? This is unbelievable. The kids at school are going to love me or beat me up is really what I was thinking, right? But it's gratitude. What is it that God would ask of me that he doesn't deserve? What is it that I could do for God that would put me ahead of him with him owing me?
Nothing.
He has been so good and so faithful. So gratitude. But here's the second. And this is where I think the majority of us fall, who are guilty of not being faithful with the 10 or the 90. And it just comes down to a very simple thing of trust. I just don't. If I give this 10%, I'm not going to have what I need. And so really, what are we saying when we say that? I don't trust you, Lord, that you're going to provide for me. And some of the things people say with that is, well, I'm just kind of in a place and I'm just not hardly making anything, but I'm expecting this promotion. And when I get this promotion, it comes with a pay raise. And when I get that pay raise, oh, then I'm going to do it. And you know what? You won't. You won't. Because if we're not faithful with the little, what does the Bible say? The Bible says it the other way. The Bible says if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the bigger things, right? But what that comes down to is just trust, right? And here's a great thing about it. Imagine if the Bible said the tithe is $2,000 a week.
Holy moly.
Imagine if the Bible said that. Well, first of all, none of us would be here probably, right? But the Bible didn't say that because God didn't set it up that way. Because you know what? God can do more with a penny than any of us can do with $10,000. And so the tithe is 10%. Whatever that is for us, it's 10%. That's what God asks us to be faithful with, isn't it? To be faithful to give that 10%. And then the 90, whatever that is, to be faithful with that, recognizing that that's his too. And I've got to be just as faithful with that 90 as I am with the 10. Here's why this is important, because I know there's some of you here tonight, and maybe these are some of the worst times. I mean, people are struggling. Let me tell you, this year, we've run out the food pantry 4 times. In a year, that's unprecedented here. Because times are tough, right? And I have no authority to say, hey, I tell you what, times are tough. Don't worry about the 10% right now. Because that 10% becomes even, listen, its importance is highlighted in tough times. That even when it was tough, I was faithful with the 10. I was faithful with the 90. I remember a person coming to the office to talk about tithing. And they were really upset. And they said, I'm not going to be able to afford to tithe anymore. And I feel awful about it. You know, and again, you know, well, what's going on? And they said, well, my salary basically got cut in half. But here's what they meant. That what they were tithing on that salary before it was cut in half, they thought that's what they were supposed to continue to give. And he said, I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. And then, you know, we kind of opened up the Bible and we read, and it, you know, it's about the 10%. And I said, you can still do the 10%. It won't be the amount that it was over here. It'll be a different amount. But what's important is that you're faithful. Well, then that person's like, oh, well, I can do that. I thought And I say this because especially in our culture, you know, money really reveals what we care about and what's important to us. And I'm, you know, there are so many folks, and you know, we won't do it tonight, but I mean, I could have people come up and just give testimony about going through those hard times, but saying, because remember, The tithe is about the first fruit. And those people saying, even through the hard time, we said God was first. And every one of them would tell you that things improved incredibly. I'm not saying immediately. I'm not saying overnight. I'm not saying, you know, because if y'all believe that, you'd be standing up saying, can we do the offering again? Can we pass the bag one more time? I'm not saying it all happens immediately and overnight, but the testimonies of these people is that what God did was amazing. Because we demonstrated, even through the hard time, that He was first. So the awkwardness is, for me, that there are a lot of people that come and they think that's what the offering is about, to benefit the pastors. And that's not what it's about. It's about all of us, right? Because guess who else is responsible for tithing? Me, right? And so I'm just as accountable to the 10% and the 90 as anybody else. Because that's a discipleship issue. That's about, are all of us going to follow Jesus wherever He leads us? And just in the same way that sexual immorality reveals a lack of trust in God, and in the same way that not being faithful in marriage reveals a lack of trust in God, it's the same way with our money. If we're not faithful with the 10 and not faithful with the 90, it reveals a lack of trust. Are we really going to follow Him? And you know what kind of surprised me Sunday when I preached on this? Is I really had kind of expected that it'll be a quick altar, right? When we have our time of altar call, it'll be a quick altar, you know. And it wasn't like that. Because this issue is not about how much you make, how much you're going to make. It's not about how much you give or how much you don't. This is about His lordship in your life. It reveals that. And in the same way that if you abstain from sexual immorality, you'll be blessed. In the same way, if you're faithful in marriage, you'll be blessed. It's the same thing with your money. If you're faithful with it, you will be blessed. So somebody told me Sunday, because in one of the messages, I said something that people feel like they can't afford to tithe. And the guy came up after the service. He said, you know how I feel? I feel like I can't afford not to. And I thought, well, man, that's a neat way to look at it, you know. But I don't want you thinking of it as an issue of pastors or as an issue of the church. This is a discipleship issue. And you know, and what I would say with all the love in my heart, I don't mean this to be offensive, okay? So don't take it that way. I'm not trying to make some bold, shocking statement. I'm not. But I would say, if you feel like you're here and you can't give to this church, I would say find one that you can. Because I care more about you being faithful with what God wants you to do than I care about you being in this church. Find one where you're willing to be faithful that way. That's how important it is. And not to miss it, right? Don't underestimate this issue. Because it's real and it is important. And let me tell you, if we lined up everybody in the world from the richest to the poorest, all of us are at the front of the line. Do you realize that? All of us are at the front of the line. This nation, I don't know why, okay? But God has blessed this nation. And we're the recipients of that blessing. We're the benefactors of that blessing of what God has done. And it's crazy because the resources we have in this room, and I'm talking about our 100%, okay? The 10, the 90. The resources we have in this room, we could take the gospel to every place on the earth. Amen. And you know what's weird about it when I say that to you and I think about it? We have the resources to do that, but I don't know that we have the heart to do it. And so you travel to Korea. Shane, we talked about Korea and what God's doing in Korea. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what God's doing in Korea. They have the heart to take the gospel to the ends of the world, but they don't have the resources. If they had our resources, the gospel would be everywhere, right? And I don't think this is some kind of cosmic mistake on God's part, but it's a challenge to us. Will we be faithful with what God has given us? And will we trust Him? And are we willing to do whatever He asks? And it's the weirdest thing, because right now I feel just like Sunday morning in all three services. It was so quiet. Some people rolled their eyes. Some people kind of shook their head. Some people were weeping. Some people kind of came to the realization, you know, I haven't been faithful with my money. And it's because I don't really trust God. And that was painful for them, that realization. That I need to trust God. He's going to take care of me. Because if you've ever lost a job, guess what you learn really quick? It was God taking care of you all the time. Yeah, He uses a job that way, doesn't He? But it's Him, ultimately. And that we would trust Him. And that we would follow Him. And I promise you tonight, I do not say this for my benefit, but I say this for where each of us are spiritually, that we would trust Him. And let me close by saying this. Because you already know, like nobody has to stop and figure out, man, have I been faithful with my money? I mean, you know it right now. You know it. You know that. And if you haven't been, I want to ask you, is the problem gratitude or is it trust? And then with all the love in my heart, what I would say is demonstrate your gratitude, demonstrate your trust. But I do think what this message brings out, because I don't want to say, I think I did say we don't trust God, but let me rephrase that. We don't trust Him like we think we do. And so the great encouragement, be faithful with the 10, be faithful with the 90. If it's this place that's a problem, find another one that's not. Because I said a couple weeks ago, who can make you be unfaithful? Nobody can make you be unfaithful. That's the choice that we make. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. The greatest point to all of this is that trusting God is only possible when we've asked Him to come into our lives and ask Him to forgive us of our sin. When He has saved us, that's when the trust is even possible. And I know there are some of you here tonight and you've never trusted Christ. You've never invited Him to come into your life to forgive you of your sin. And the Bible says if we would confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we would be saved. And I would plead with you tonight, if you've never done that, to invite Christ to come into your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And the Bible says He's faithful and just, and He will do that. And if you do that tonight, I want to ask you in a moment to just to come to this altar. There'll be other people coming to pray. Come and let one of us pastors know that you've done that. And for those here tonight, you know you're saved, but you know you've struggled in this area of money, whether it's the 10, whether it's the 90, or both, whatever it is. I would just ask that that you just come tonight and you just pray and say, Lord, I haven't been grateful. I haven't trusted you with everything. Somebody asked me Sunday, what if I've never been faithful with that? What do? I owe so much. And what I said is, begin that faithfulness today. Start right now and be faithful from this moment on. Father, we love you. And you've been so good to us. You've cared for us. You've provided for us. You've been there for us. And Lord, I pray, just even through this sermon series, all these things we've talked about, that we would be found faithful. So teach us to trust you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. Let me invite you to come tonight. I know some of you want to come and pray for others, and I know we have some folks that are struggling, and some of you want to come and pray for them. Let me just invite you to come. There's pastors here. We would love to talk with you, to pray with you, but just be faithful. You come.